Well, since I'm going to use this term loosely, and you understand why, look like an idiot without my green light on, we're going to do an idiot test this morning. So everybody, any of you watch that idiot show, the idiot test show? You know, do you know if you're an idiot type thing? So we have four pictures up here, and we're going to test you to see if you're an idiot or not. I'm sorry. I feel really bad saying that, but we're going to go on to the first picture. Let me turn this light off. And it says, which kitchen tool are you most likely to use next? So you can answer that. Of course, the answer is what? Fork. Okay. Good. Fork. If you didn't say fork, don't worry. There's more opportunity not to be an idiot. Sorry. What would this briefcase fit inside? Huh?
Airplane.
Airplane. There you go. It fit inside the airplane. Good job. See, I said the book, the spy book, would fit inside the briefcase. As the briefcase would fit inside what? Okay. Which tracks were made by a human being? The railroad tracks. There you go. All right. All right. One more. Or is that it?
No,
there's one more. Two more. Which flag shows no national pride? The one on the mailbox. Thank you. All right. I didn't get that one either. What most brightens Trevor T. Rex's birthday? The sun. There you go. I said candles too. I lost 3 out of 5 of them. What does that say? You know, I'm not in good shape. You know, so I did that for a reason, because on this Mother's Day, the message is dealing with the message is not dealing with that. The message is dealing with our proper response as to whether we're wise or not. A wise mother or not being a wise mother. And so we're going to look at three different texts, and with that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you that we can have a little bit of fun and a little levity in our midst. And I just pray, Father, please, that as we go on with the message, Father, that you will bless it, that you'll see the connection to it. And also, Father, that you'll bless each mother here and encourage them. Even if there are those women that are here that don't have children, that you'd encourage them as well. And I ask, Father, please, that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, the first one is, I want to look at the responses of three different women in the Scripture. And so the first one I'll look at is in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 9 through 16. And it's a widow's response to challenge. Now, this widow lived in Western Palestine, as we know it today. It was a center for Baal worship, and Baal was like the most lascivious of man-made idols that you could worship. And this woman of Zarephath, this widow of Zarephath, was actually a worshiper of Baal. And God sends Elisha there. It says, "Arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." It was during the drought. We can relate, can't we? It's during the drought. Driving through the up I-5 and you see the hills. I told my wife, I said, "You know, I don't think I've seen the hills look so dry before." And they're really looking sparse. Well, it was such a drought at this time period in this passage of Scripture that the widow was scurrying about trying to find twigs and sticks because nothing had grown or died to collect wood to make, you know, to make a fire to cook off of. And so God's telling Elisha, you know, get away from Jezebel, get away from the danger that you're at, and go towards Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God," note that, your God, lives. I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. So we know that there was very little available, very little water, being in a drought. And what was the concern of the mother? I'm going to fix the last meal for whom? For my son. Isn't that typical? Moms think about their kids first, right? Before themselves, and that's what she's doing. And so that they might die. And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. Afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth." So when she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days, the bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. You know, one of the things that we need to learn and to apply in this passage of Scripture just for all of us as believers is that sometimes God will require things of us that don't make sense. And that logically, we just think, you know what, that's too much of a hardship on us. That's too much of a stretch. That's too much of a sacrifice. Yet when we trust God with what he's telling us, then we can see and have the opportunity to see God bless our faith and provide in ways that we never thought were possible. And so I think that's something that we need to remember. But this woman, like I said earlier, worshipped Baal. That was her culture and everything. But what did she do? She heard Elijah, who's a prophet of God, known throughout the land as a prophet of God. And what did she do? What was her response? What was her correct response? And so we're going to look at that in the insert. It says, she listened to the word of the Lord. She wasn't a believer in God yet, but she listened to God's word. And that's something that you and I as believers ought to do. But even as a non-believer, if you're here today and you've never asked Christ in your life, one of the best things you could do is listen to God's word, because God loves you. God knows you, and God's word is trustworthy. Secondly, she trusted the word of God. I mean, she's thinking, I'm gathering sticks, I'm going to make a fire, I'm going to make a little patty of... It's basically a little tortilla thrown on a hot rock and cooked with a little bit of water. She's going to share that with her son, and they're going to eat and die. But she trusted that she could sacrifice that and give it to Elijah. And then she obeyed the word of the Lord, which is the action that follows the trust. She listened. She trusted that God would do what he said. She obeyed. And look what she did not do. She did not rebuke God's challenge. You want what? You said what? You've got to be kidding? Really? Are you crazy? No rebuke. She trusted what God had to say. She didn't rebuke him. I could just see in a normal circle. She's not a believer in God. And so I could see her telling and explaining the whole scenario and just kind of unrailing herself on him. But she didn't. See, that was the first, and again, I apologize, but in context, idiot test. The idiot part is the bad response. Because what does idiot imply? An idiot implies what? You're being non-logical, nonsensible, hard-headed, whatever, and you're just not listening, right? So she listened, and she accepted the challenge. Then I want to look at another woman in the scripture. And I want to look at Hannah. Hannah is just a wonderful lady that loved God. And so we're going to look at 1 Samuel 1, 1 through 20. It says, "Now there was a certain man in Ramathaim, Zophim," this means two cities, "of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, and Ephraimite. And he had two wives." Now this time, the Jews were practicing polygamy, but it wasn't the intention of God from the very beginning, for God gave Adam one wife. And that was the principle for centuries. But at this time, by social standards, it became more acceptable to have two wives. And so, and he said, and he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. It's a disgrace for a woman not to have children back then. She would rather die than not have children because of the shame that it brought on her. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion. Now, when I think double portion, I think a pile of mashed potatoes, twice the normal serving. Double portion, you know, a couple of big spoon pops. But really, double portion here in the original means that it's the most choice part of the sacrifice. See, they went to go and give thank offerings to God, to worship Him. They sacrificed animals as a way of giving thanks to God. And then they would take that animal and roast it and cook it. And then the choicest part of that animal, the best cut, or the largest piece, or both, Elkanah gave to Hannah. And so, but to Hannah, he would give a double portion. For he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. You see, Hannah was being tormented by Elkanah's other wife. The normal tendency in a polygamy relationship is the jealousy between wives. Who does the husband love the most? And that was part of the problem. In verse 6 it says, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. He loves me more because I gave him children and you haven't. He loves me more because, fill in the blank. And Hannah felt shame because she didn't have children. And she would go up and she would, as a woman, she didn't have to. She would go up to the temple and she would worship God. But she went and wept. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Now, is this not a man statement, if you ever heard one? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? You know? Wow, what a statement. I'm thinking, wow, really? But I think he's just trying to say, aren't you happy with me, regardless of how many kids that you could have had? Okay. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. She was bitter not at anyone. She was just, her heart was tormented. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke to her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. Apparently, that culture, it wasn't uncommon to find women drunk as well. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? He's an old priest. He's not right with God, as you study about him. And he asked her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the women went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then she rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife. We know what that means. And the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass, in the process of time, that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. If you were in Hannah's situation as a woman, and you had a rival wife biting at your heels all the time, shaming you verbally all the time, making you feel horrible all the time, what might your reaction be? Yeah, I see it, I hear it, right? What was Hannah's action? She went to God in prayer. What was Hannah's action? She didn't have vengeance. What was Hannah's action? She wasn't sarcastic to Peninnah. What was Hannah's action? She just depended on God. And I thought that was a great response to a situation. See, moms have a choice, just like guys do, but we're focusing on moms for Mother's Day, to respond to a given circumstance appropriately in a way that brings honor to God. And that's what Hannah did. It says here, this, look at your insert, it says, the correct response, she had a right heart before God. She went to God. She trusted God. The next is, she was not vengeful in heart or actions, even though she was tormented by Peninnah. She wasn't vengeful. She sought God with a humble and genuine heart. She praised God for her child, Samuel, and answered a prayer. And she did not revile her persecutor, a mark of a godly woman. So how do you respond as a woman to circumstances that aren't just, aren't fair, aren't pleasant, are miserable? You go to God. You trust God. And you depend upon Him to take care of it. Here, one more to look at, but it's a short passage. It's only 38 verses. I'm teasing. Romans 6:12-13, a mother's response to character. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. Can you imagine naming your daughters that? They were twin girls. Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. This is Paul writing the Christians in Rome. Not the Christian church in Rome, but the Christians in Rome. Friends that he has made over the years. And he's greeting them. He's not greeting them like, hello, I'm here. He's greeting them like, I love you, goodbye, I'm leaving. Okay? And then verse 13, greet Rufus. What a name. Rufus. Chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Let me tell you something about Rufus. His brother's name was Alexander. His father's name was Simon. And his father was from Cyrene. Simon the Cyrenian, who carried the cross of Jesus after Jesus was beaten, flogged, barely alive, carried a cross down the Via della Rosa to Calvary. But the Roman soldiers insisted that Simon, the Cyrenian, be pulled out of the crowd and told him, you carry that cross. You help him carry that cross. And he was just passing through Jerusalem. The result was that Simon became a believer. His wife became a believer. His sons, Alexander and Rufus, became believers. And during the first century church, Paul was known as Saul. Saul of Tarsus, the great persecutor of those of the way, those that follow Jesus. And so the mother of Rufus is the wife of Simon, who carried the cross for Jesus, and the whole family put their faith in Christ and believed. She also was there praying for Saul when he was the persecutor of the church. Saw his conversion, meaning that she heard about his conversion, recognized his conversion. Saul became Paul, and now became a close friend of the family. Wow. And was so close that Rufus's mother, Simon the Cyrenian's wife, loved on, prayed for, supported, and encouraged the old Saul, who became the new Paul in character in Christ. So much so that Paul said, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Paul is declaring a hard attachment to Rufus's mother as being as if she was his own mom. Moms, you have an opportunity not only to bless and encourage and to make right decisions that affect your family for the glory of God, but you also have the opportunity to be moms to other people, to take them under your wing, to care about them, to love on them, to support them, pray for them, to give them truth and direction, all these things, to be a loving, nurturing mom to somebody that's not your biological child. You know, during the years of ministry, Mother's Day has always been tough because so many times women will come up to me and say, you know what, I didn't have a good relationship with my mom. I don't like Mother's Day. Or, I don't have any children. I can't have children. It makes me depressed. But you know what? A godly woman can have an effect as a godly mom, whether she has children of her own or not. And they can be used for the glory of God. And that's what happened here. Rufus's mother could have. No way am I getting around that Saul of Tarsus. No way am I accepting that murderer of those that followed Christ is really a believer in Christ. No way am I going to trust that. But what did she do? Because she had the testimony of her husband who carried the very cross of Christ, and her family were assisted in doing so, and her family became Christians, became believers in Christ, believers in the way of Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. That because of that, she saw the transformation and the power of God work in Saul's life to make him a minister or apostle to the Gentiles. And instead of rejecting him, instead of being afraid of him, she not only respected him, but she supported him, encouraged him, prayed for him, loved on him so much that their relationship became as Paul thought of her as his mom. And I don't know about you, but I love the warmth and tender and caring of a mom. I always have. My mom, when Hurricane Donna went through Miami, Florida in 1964, I think, maybe 63, long time ago, after in the eye of the storm, there's this huge tree. There's a Benjamin ficus tree, huge 2-3-story tree, huge trunk. It had split right down the middle. And I remember my brothers, my real brother, my stepbrothers, climbing up the tree. And they were on the limbs above me. Of course, my brother was 7 years older than I am, so it was an older group. And I was trying to follow behind them as a little brother climbing up this tree. And the neighbor came out of the house that owned the tree and said, "Get out of that tree, boys. You're going to get hurt." Right? And it's during the eye of the storm. And so, okay, so my brother and what became my stepbrothers were hanging from the branch above me, and I was on the branch below, kind of curving over the branch coming down, and their branch broke, and they all landed on top of me while I was on that branch. It knocked the wind out of me. They carried me down the street. One guy had my arms, the other guy had my legs, and I was out of wind, and just kind of limp. They're just carrying me to my mom. But I remember my mother holding me, and just, you know, a little kid now, you remember, just cradling me and just reassuring me, "You're okay." You know, God gave moms a special ability to bring comfort, to bring love and tenderness that a father is not nearly as good at, in my opinion. And we have the opportunity, you have the opportunity to share that love as moms. We have the opportunity to receive it. So, praise God for each one of you as moms and as women, because you have a great opportunity to glorify God. And so, let me just fill in the insert there. Rufus's mother, she was loved by Paul as his own mother. That's written in God's Word, forever, never to be taken out. What a tribute. Wow. She was a loving Christian woman. She was faithful in ministering. And she did not label Paul Saul's character. Instead, she accepted his conversion of faith. So moms, your correct response will impact others for God's glory. Whether the widow and what God challenges you to do, whether the wife who feels like she hasn't been able to provide what she wants as a wife, or as a woman who's able to love people like a mom. Thank God for the moms that He created. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for each one here. Thank You, Father, for our own mothers. Thank You, Father, for our wives. Thank You for our daughters. Thank You, Father, for the women represented in this congregation this morning, as well as the women that are a part of this church. And may each woman, but also each man and each child, seek to bring You honor and glory because we love You. Thank You for Your sacrifice on Calvary for us. Thank You for raising from the dead. Thank You for being alive today. And most of all, thank You for living in our hearts, because we've asked You to forgive us of our sins. We've asked You to come live in our heart, and You did not reject us, but You came in, and You're there, and You've promised never to leave us nor to forsake us. We praise You for that. We thank You for that. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.